All right, my guest today is Andrea Rolfe. Andrea is an author and a business consultant, I guess for lack of a better term, that's what you would call her. Tells you how to turn your business around and become more profitable, but on the flip side, tells consumers how to go in and play hardball when they're doing business with somebody. How are you, Andrea? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hi, Andrea. I just introduced you. It's Mike Bullard. How are you?
Oh, hey, Mike. I didn't hear the introduction. Sorry about that.
It was fantastic.
Best I've ever heard.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, man, I can't believe I missed it.
We talked about your psychic abilities. You kind of blew that.
when you didn't
just come in on your own. How's it going? Are you well?
Yes.
Where do you live, by the way?
I live in Seattle, and hoping the hail doesn't come back. I was on a call earlier today, and the hail was so bad and so loud that I was having trouble hearing the person on the other end. So
you're obviously a well-to-do person and obviously an entrepreneur. Let me ask you this. Why do you live in Seattle?
Well, I was born and raised in Texas, but I love it here. I've been here 20 years, and I actually enjoy the climate, which might sound strange to some, but you can't beat summer and fall in Seattle. Absolutely gorgeous.
Why? Are the summers dry? Because we always hear they're rainy, like
Mm-mm.
Vancouver.
No. Summer's from July through about October. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's clean because it's been raining so much up until then. Everything's been washed away.
Are all the slackers still living there? You know, the slacker generation?
No, the slackers don't live here. The Microsoft and Starbucks and Boeing people live here.
Okay, they sound more like my kind of people.
Yeah.
You know, I hated the slackers. I used to tell them that, but they didn't have the energy to fight back.
Yeah.
You know.
Hence
but,
the name Slacker.
Right. Now you've got a very interesting point of view on things, because you say that people can get a deal on anything, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to have you on was because recently my girlfriend's best friend wanted to buy a car.
Mm.
So she went out, she put a deposit on a car in her town, which is quite far from mine. And it was a small town, therefore you would have thought she would have gotten a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
I got her the same car with a 6 CD player. They were only offering her a single CD player for $13,000 less.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have to pin a rose on your nose.
I couldn't believe what she was paying for this thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, now, is it because, just like the old days, are car people misogynistic? Do they still see a woman coming a mile away?
Oh, probably. I mean, you know, that's part of it. But as a consumer, we really need to do our research, and we've got to figure out ahead of time, you know, what the market will bear, you know, and look at the competition, not just of the make and model, so to speak, but of that same brand in your market. Now, I understand that's harder in a small town. It might be the only one in that town. But
right.
Especially, you know, in a bigger city, you're going to have lots of Honda dealerships, you know, lots of, you know, that you could potentially go to. So a couple tips with that is do your research, know what the market will bear. Some of the other things that can work with negotiating is something I call the silent treatment.
Right.
And this is something where you say what you want, and then you just stop talking. And there's this awkward silence, and whoever talks first loses. And often what will happen is, by you hesitating, like if you say, gosh, that's just really more than I wanted to spend, and kind of having that doubt, leaving that hanging there? Yeah. And then the other person will come back and often will offer a deal. This even works in retail. I mean, just clothes shopping, I've had experiences with
you. You've had this happen in a retail store, like
a
chain?
Yeah, I mean, I had the best story, and it's kind of unbelievable. It's absolutely true. I was in New York City in January on business, but, you know, there's always time for shopping
right.
when you're in Manhattan. And I've been doing a lot of TV stuff lately, and I thought, you know, I need to go get a decent wardrobe, get some suits. And so I went to this high-end retail place in Manhattan and found this suit that I really loved. It was $350, and it was like a little more than I wanted to spend. So I take it up to the counter, and I put it on the counter, and I say to the sales gal, you know, is this on sale by any chance? And she says, well, no, you know, we just got it in yesterday. And I said, oh, man, that's too bad. It's just really more than I wanted to spend. And I was quiet. It was very uncomfortable. And she's looking around the sales floor. I thought, what is she doing? And then I realized she's probably looking to see if her manager's around, because she wants to make a deal and she doesn't want to get in trouble.
That's great.
So she's looking around and she says, You know what? I bet you got this off the $200 rack. I'll just give it to you for $200.
That's what happened?
That is exactly what happened. I got a $350 suit for $200 just because I showed a little hesitation that I possibly wasn't going to buy it.
The great thing about that is, too, it's not like if you're a shy person, your method's good because you don't have to be forceful. You don't have to... You know, you don't really have to get in somebody's face. All you got to do is have that awkward silence.
Right.
Which, by the way, shy people create a lot of the time anyway, so why not use it to their advantage?
That's right.
You know, so we should always know where you've been or what you've been up to and how many people you've influenced by walking into a store. If we see a lot of uncomfortable people standing around, we just go, hey, Andrea. These are her disciples. That's great. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, but you do say it'll work at a place like Best Buy, any place, right?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is ask for sales. Sometimes there are sales that are coming up. Maybe it's not on sale now, but you can say, is this going to be on sale in the next couple of months? A lot of times they'll tell you, and then you just have to make the decision, well, do I have to have this right now, or can I wait a few months and pay a little bit less?
It's funny you say that, because there's a big chain of department stores in Canada. I don't want to name it because I don't want to get any employees into trouble, but I go into this one near me quite often. And there's a lady there who really likes me, and she'll always say to me, oh, you know, that's going on sale next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
If you forge a relationship with the salesperson, too, or they see you a lot, I guess that can help as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, I think that that is part of why I was able to get this deal that I just told you about, because I'd spent an hour and a half with this particular gal and tried on a lot of different suits. We'd kind of developed a friendship. I mean, as much of a friendship as you can develop in an hour and a half. But there was, you know, we sort of bonded, and so... I think she was motivated to help me in that way.
Now, this works with big ticket items as well, Andrea?
Yeah, I mean, it would work probably even better. I mean, the more something costs, the more room there is, typically.
Right.
So, and very much the same, you know, techniques of, you know, the hesitation, the silent treatment. Another rule with negotiation is you ask for a better deal than what you expect to get. And because the person on the other side is going to make an offer that's, you know, you have that balance. Like the person selling it is going to say, well, you know, I want X, and that's more than they expect to get. But the buyer is going to say, well, I'm willing to pay Y, you know, which
right.
is less.
Right.
And so you meet in the middle. That's kind of the idea. But if you only ask for exactly what you expect to get, then there's really no room to
right.
compromise.
Right. We should caution people, too. This doesn't work with your drug dealer.
No. No.
Because it's not exactly an ethical business to begin with, and they'll just pull out a gun and shoot you.
Right. And now, how do you know this from experience?
Sure. Okay. I'm a big-time druggie. Now, what's the best deal you ever got on a big-ticket item? Because, you know, I mean, people often say those who can do, those who can't teach, but I want to hear what the best deal you ever got yourself on anything was.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many. How to choose.
Well, have you ever done it with a house?
No, because we got our house before I kind of started doing the wheeler dealer thing.
Okay.
Before I knew any better. I mean,
by the way, is your husband any good at this?
No.
He's terrible?
No, I'm the one that does.
Right, so he has you do it all the time. That's perfect.
We went to Nordstrom the other day because we bought a really nice, we're in the market to buy a really nice mattress. And so we walk in, and I said, let me handle this.
Yeah.
Walk right up to the clerk.
By the way, guys are only too happy to turn that over to you. There's nothing a guy hates more than appearing to be a bad guy when he's out at a store or somewhere. But it's different with cars. I don't know why, but guys love to wheel and deal on a car, but nothing else. They won't do it on an appliance. They won't do it on clothes.
Well, it's got to be something that they feel like they know something about.
Right, exactly.
And maybe that's stereotypical to say most guys know stuff about cars, but they probably do know more about cars than they do about clothes, for example.
Have you ever done it with a car?
Well, actually, no, I haven't, because I actually work with a broker, an auto broker.
Right.
And this is kind of a neat deal. You pay this person like $300, and they go off to the dealer, and they negotiate. You know, they end up negotiating a much better deal on your behalf than you would ever get on your own.
So they get it for you wholesale.
Right. So the 300, like I have a BMW, so the $300 that I paid this person to go and do this. You know, deal for me.
Yeah,
saved me $7,000 off.
$7,000. There you go.
The price that I would have paid had I gone in on my own.
So there you go. That tells you right there.
Right.
And by the way, it works better on high end cars too, I think, because they have bigger margins.
Yes.
a friend of mine has a brother who owns a BMW dealership, and the reason he bought BMW is because you've got more of a margin as a dealer to deal with people. Because the profit margin on a BMW is much bigger than it is on a GM or a Ford.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you're just paying for the name in so many cases.
Yeah, so there you go. You save $7,000 there. Now, your website is?
There's a couple. There's one that's blitzexperience.com.
That's B-L-I-T-Z?
Yeah, B-L-I-T-Z, experience.com. So that's more sort of my core business, which is sales training.
Right.
And then my newest book, where we've used sales techniques to help people get a job, is called RevYourResume.com.
Raz your resume?
No, Rev, like Rev.
Oh, Rev, like Rev it up. RevYourResume.com. And they can get the book on that website.
You bet. Mm-hmm.
And you can probably get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, too.
You can get
right?
anywhere. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. It was a real pleasure having you here.
You bet. This was fun. Thank you.
All right. I hope we can have you back.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Andrea. Nice lady.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.